Many people say that goalkeepers are crazy, and part of it probably is somewhat true. But the thing is, as well, we have to work a lot in that sense because it can be excruciating to making a mistake, or it can be, the best feeling in the world, making great saves and winning the games and stuff like that. So to keep yourself in a position where you can deliver every single week or twice a week, it's crucial to be in the right frame of mind, in my opinion.
Hello and welcome back to a new episode of the Gloves On podcast. We're your host, Marcus Sundin, and alongside me is Alexander Brams, as always. Today, we're joined by a new guest, Jesse Jordanen. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much, guys. Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on. You're currently playing for Venezia in the Italian leagues. And before we jump into your goalkeeping background and your current position within the team, we want to use our usual segment here in the podcast, and which obviously is the fire question. So we have four questions where you just answer as quick as possible. So if you're ready for that, we'll jump straight into it.
Always ready. Let's go.
Awesome. First of all, gloves on or gloves off?
On.
Favorite goalkeeper of all time?
Buffon.
Like that one. Favorite goalkeeper you have played with?
Favorite goalkeeper I have played with.
Correct.
Andrew Lonergan. I was under him in the pecking order in Fulham. Definitely my favorite person from all the goalkeepers in the world. Andrew Lonergan.
Interesting. Interesting. And last one, most important aspect within goalkeeping.
The mental aspect.
Mentality. That's that's the one we love talking about here on the podcast. We really love talking about the mental aspect of goalkeeping because, as we've said over and over again, it's a huge aspect of the position. As many people say, it's even a lonely position at times. So from your perspective, why would you say that the mental aspect is such an important aspect within our position?
Well, obviously, every goalkeeper knows the highs and lows of being a goalkeeper and, how to deal with both of those. It's crucial part of the game, not get too carried away with either one and kind of being, from my personal experience, I try to be as consistent as I possibly can, and offer my team, my teammates, something concrete, something solid that they can, look and feel secure about. And that's the thing I try to do as a goalkeeper. And in order to achieve that mentally, you need to be sound as well. Many people say that goalkeepers are crazy, and part of it probably is somewhat true. But the thing is, as well, we have to work a lot in that sense, because it can be excruciating making a mistake, or it can be, the best feeling in the world, making great saves and winning the games and stuff like that. So to keep yourself in a position where you can deliver every single week or twice a week, it's crucial to be in the right frame of mind, in my opinion.
Yeah, spot on. And something I really wanted to talk about as well is Alex and I are obviously from Denmark, and you've played in the Danish league. And talking about the mentality aspect, I want to talk about the difference on playing, because first of all, if the listeners don't know out there, you played for two different clubs in Denmark, AC Horsens, which is, they are one of the lower league, not lower league teams, but they are in the bottom of the table, where you then went to a transfer to FC Copenhagen, which is the biggest club in Denmark. So talking about the difference between playing on those teams, where playing for Horsens, you would have obviously a lot to do during the games, where you would be defending most of the time and have a lot of action, and then go into a club at Copenhagen, where in the league you would have to stay ready, have to stay prepared to make that save in order to keep a clean sheet. It's two different worlds, in my opinion. How did you really, what would you say the difference was, and how did you balance that mentally as well?
Yeah, you're spot on in that sense, because it was very different, and obviously for me it was a challenge I definitely wanted to take on, and I really loved both experiences. First of all, in Horsens, you know, it was my break. You know, I had prepared for a long time in Fulham, 2 years or what, kind of knowing that I'm gonna leave Fulham at some point to go somewhere and be the first keeper. And Horsens and Bo Henriksen and Peter Hansen, the goalkeeper coach there, they offered me, you know, a path, in the sense of, you know, they said that come here and you'll be in charge of, you know, the defense, and you know, we want you to do really well, and you know, be vocal, stuff like that, just play your game. And it was liberating. I felt really, really liberated in Horsens in that kind of sense. And obviously it, you know, went well, got the move to Copenhagen, which was, you know, different in that kind of aspect, because Copenhagen is the biggest and the best and the most beautiful club in Scandinavia, and it's a different kind of pressure, different kind of style of play, in the sense of, like you said, the goalkeeper won't probably see a lot of action, but when it comes, then you need to be prepared and you need to deliver. And the expectation in Copenhagen as well, the fans justifiably expect to win every single game. The players expect, the coaching staff, everyone has an expectation to win, and that was one of the things I really loved the most in Copenhagen, that we were, you know, able to, you know, yeah, able to go at the challenge like that and achieve it, win the league, go to Europa League, stuff like that, and you know, under a lot of pressure, able to deliver. And that's one of the most satisfying things that there is, you know, under pressure, you're able to deliver what is asked from you, what is demanded from you. And, you know, for me, it was wonderful, wonderful experience to be in Copenhagen, as well as being in Horsens too.
Love it. Yeah, because I think that's something that we don't really talk a lot about. Obviously, goalkeeping is goalkeeping, but with that being said, the position really depend on what club you play for as well, in terms
yeah,
of
sure.
What you need to, what kind of performance you need to have. And if you play for a top performance team like you did at FC Copenhagen, you have different tasks to complete during the game. First of all, obviously you have to stay mentally ready. That's a must. But at the same time, then it comes down to, you might have to be a bigger aspect in the build-up instead of where you are and Horsens, where you have to obviously save after save. So again, I think that's the beauty of the position again, and it's just a very, very important aspect to talk about. But Jesse, I want to take a little bit back before we jumped on this recording. We wanted to talk a little bit about your background within goalkeeping as well, because obviously looking at the clubs you've been at, you had most of your goalkeeping education, if you can say it like that, in England. So can you talk us through a little bit about your experience in the English football system?
Yeah, I'm very grateful for Fulham FC for bringing on a Finnish kid from countryside all the way to London, and you know, I played, to be honest, I benefited from it, because when I was in Finland, I was able to, from a very young age, to start training and start playing with men. Obviously, it was the lower leagues in Finland, but I made my debut when I was 13 in Finnish, you know, fourth division with men, and obviously I was quite a tall kid back then already.
How tall were you then, and when you were 13?
Over 180, I would say.
Yeah, you know, like, because you're 197, right?
Yeah. So I was allowed to go because, you know, of my size. But yeah, it was, I'm very grateful for Fulham for bringing, you know, me on and having me there for 8 years and giving me a proper education in football, professionalism. You know, I had a lot of ups, a lot of downs in the sense of, you know, injuries, but that period of time really was the education, like you said, the education of how to become a professional footballer. And that was something I always cherish and always value, because that gave the base for everything. Obviously, the goalkeeping style and, you know, the coaching varies depending on the goalkeeper coach, depending on the first team manager, who he brings on, what kind of goalkeeper coach he brings on, stuff like that. But there are a lot of things still in my game from, you know, that time, in a sense that, you know, I want to, you know, keep sharp with, in the sense of, you know, coming for crosses, you know, stuff like that, that are really, really, really good. Obviously, since my departure from England, I think it has gone forward a lot, the way the English goalkeeper coaching system works and stuff like that, what kind of things they look in and for the goalkeepers in the sense of training, you know, how to be a modern goalkeeper. I think the whole position is evolving a lot at the moment, based on whatever school you want to pick, you know, like how Germany has produced great keepers, how Spain now has the best ball playing keepers in the whole game, you know, stuff like that. It's in England, during my time, it was still a little bit of that old school volleys, catch, you know, kick it along, come for crosses, be vocal. And to be honest, I try to be vocal still. So it definitely helped me to go through that mill.
Yeah, really, really interesting story with the youth, and interesting to hear that England was, of course, like old school during that time, but it had also evolved. So how have you, as a big goalkeeper, followed the evolvement of being a modern goalkeeper, if you can say that? Because I know you play in Italy now. So how are you playing now? Still, like, you're 29, yeah. So you're still young, if you can say that.
It was still young, you can, yeah, sure. Depends who you ask that question. Still young, but in the goalkeeping terms, sure. But yeah, the thing with goalkeepers is that, you know, obviously if you're good with everything, your name is Donnarumma or Manuel Neuer or someone like that, and then you play for PSG or Bayern München or something like that. Obviously, in anyone's game, there are limitations, there are strengths, and, you know, I try to work on my limitations and develop them, and then obviously rely on the strengths that I have in my game. You know, for example, playing out from the back is a big thing with the teams at the moment, and will be in the future as well. Goalkeeper is part of the team and will be even more like that in the future, and obviously goalkeepers need to develop that part of the game enormously in order to respond to the demand of, you know, the modern tactics and how the game is played. That being said, still, in my opinion, goalkeepers are, in the view of the public, in the view of the coaches, in the view of the teammates, still evaluated mostly based on if they keep the ball out of the net or not, you know. And there is, you know, that's the part, me personally, I try to keep the most attention to, and obviously at the same time develop the parts, you know, that are needed in a modern football. But yeah, definitely playing out from the back, protecting the space behind, all of these things are a crucial part of the game. And I think if you need to name one keeper that has, you know, created the base for a modern keeper, that would be Manuel Neuer. You know, how he kind of opened everyone's eyes playing at the very top level and, you know, being able to deliver that kind of consistency, what used to be seen as risky play, and deliver that kind of consistency, that kind of opened it up for everybody else. And now there are loads and loads of keepers that do it and do it in a very, very high level. And it's really, really nice to see.
It definitely is. And you slightly touched upon it, is at the end of the day, it's about keeping the ball out the net. And when we look at the Champions League final last year, what won the Champions League final was Courtois 8 or 9 saves or what. Yeah. It was not Alisson playing out from the back. Not to say that Alisson is not a good shot stopper, but it was just an example of what is the bread and butter. And it's a plus, and definitely for some coaches like Guardiola, a must that your goalkeeper has to play out from the back. But I know there's a lot of pundits in Denmark that are traditionalists, and they want, like, just if you're in trouble, just kick it out of the area. Don't worry. You don't have to find an open guy. We'll sort it out afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And obviously in Denmark, if I remember from the league, it's direct. It's aggressive. It's direct. Mm-hmm. It's avoiding risks. It's everybody is playing to win. And, you know, in my opinion, that's a beautiful thing. You know, mm-hmm. even the small details of it, like goalkeepers sometimes hoofing it down the field and stuff like that. You know, nobody has a problem with it because everybody's trying to win so bad and everybody's still going out there and pressurizing the keeper and stuff like that. So it's, in my opinion, it's not a bad thing.
Not at all. And I could imagine Bo Henriksen was a no-nonsense coach where he was like, if you don't want to take the risk, don't do it.
Yeah, sure. I think Bo wanted us to play more than we did, you know. Mm-hmm. And Bo is one of the managers that I will always remember as being this, you know, ball of energy as a person, you know, like how he was able to get everybody going and you know, still deliver, you know, the tactical ethos and what we wanted to achieve and, you know, how to, you know, win games and keep it going also in training. You know, I have great memories from that with Bo and Bo and him shouting at the touchline. So it was really good, really good experience for me to see someone that cares so much about football.
I could imagine. And talking about like charismatic persons, we've had your teammate Lukas Radetzky on pod and your goalkeeper coach Antinimi on the pod, and they seemed like charismatic guys. How is it being in a, first of all, you're also a Finnish national team goalkeeper with Lukas Radetzky. So how is it being in a goalkeeper group with them too?
For me, the past 10 years that I've been with the national team, you know, it's been an enormous honor to work alongside both of them. They are fantastic people. They are crazy as hell, both of them. But, you know, for me to be part of that, it's an enormous honor. And, you know, it's funny the way we, you know, do things. We get things done, but in a manner of there is always space for, you know, lighthearted jokes and being together and stuff like that. And in national team it's a little bit different because you're there for the for your nation. It's an honor position, you know, like you want to be there, and whatever position is given to you by the head coach, you will go there. In my opinion, my values, you will go there and you will fill it to the best of your ability. If it's a supporting role, then it's a supporting role. If it's the main role, then it's the main role. And for me, that's how I see national team, definitely.
Lovely to hear. So you're also a very, what's the right English word? Like a good guy who's supporting your fellow goalkeeper, no matter what, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's about delivering results for the team. And
100%. And, you know, in a club, obviously, when it comes to club, you are there for yourself, you know, like you've got, you want to develop your career, you want to win something, and also you need to take care of your livelihood. You know, that's the club is your bread and butter. And that can create also, not even in a position of goalkeeper, but in a position of the outfield players as well, that can create competitions that, you know, are not friendly. And that's okay too, you know, like in pro football, it doesn't have to be all nice and friendly. That comes from England as well. I've seen competition in our, you know, Fulham reserves that was not friendly, but it's how it is. And in my opinion, if you want to win something, if you want to achieve something, that's how it should be. But in a national team, it's a, you know, that's not your bread and butter. That's the honor position. That's the, you know, you get picked for that, you know, and you are representing your country. And it's, in my opinion, it's a little bit different in that kind of sense. Obviously, it can help you with your career, but still, you're representing your country, fighting for the colors of your country and for your flag. And that's a little bit different thing.
I think that too, and nice to hear the insight, because as you say, it's your bread and butter. You're actually playing to get the next paycheck, and you want to play, and you got to be a little bit selfish. Talking about bread and butter and getting a paycheck, in 2019 you were bought by Brescia.
Yeah.
And why did you? Were they in Serie A at that point?
Yeah.
So you chose to go from the Danish Superliga to Serie A, which is obviously a pretty step up the ladder. So tell us about this move.
Yeah, well, basically, if you get a chance that you are being called by your agent or by whoever that, listen, there's a, you know, chance of going to Serie A right now, you want to take it. Then it's kind of thing that every single footballer, not even a goalkeeper, every single footballer dreams about, playing in the top five leagues, you know, testing yourself against the best in the world. And that was something, you know, even though things were really good in Copenhagen, and, you know, I loved the club and loved the city, it was a chance that I know for a fact that, you know, in football, people always say that, yeah, but there might be, you know, another possibility further down the road, but it's even more likely that there ain't, you know. It's if you get an opportunity, then, you know, you kind of have to take it. And if it's your dream to play in the top five leagues, then you take it. And I was really happy that I did in that sense, because I was able to play in a very high level for that year in Serie A, and sadly we got relegated but with the team. And since then I've been in Serie B, two years in Serie B with Brescia. Both years we ended up in the playoffs, didn't go up, and now I have a new project with Venezia FC here in Venice, which I'm really excited about. And obviously, it's been a very tough start for our season, but we are going at it with all we can to turn it. And yesterday was a very good start to it as well.
Yeah, super interesting. I could imagine that whenever you've grown up in Fulham and wanting to break through the first team, didn't happen. Then you said, we talked about this, like you had the typical English experience going on loan, and then you go out of England to like break through, and you broke through. Horsens coming, now Brescia playing Serie A, and now you're kind of in it again where you'd want to go into the top league. Yeah, I can imagine that's the next step for Jesse, is to get back into the Serie A with Venezia. You said the season wasn't going so well. Can you tell our listeners like how it is?
Yeah,
now?
well, basically, we have a very, very talented, very potential squad after Venezia got relegated last year from their experience in Serie A. Obviously, we went to the start of the season with high hopes, which didn't realize, and now we kind of have to get our hands dirty in the sense of Serie B is a very, very tough league, kind of in the same way as Championship is in England. It's a tough league to play. There are a lot of little details that you need to get right, and a lot of the teams that were just about relegated from the top league find it very difficult to play in the league below. Because of those little details and the level of competition in the league, which, by the way, this year is enormously, equal, in a sense. There are big, big teams in Serie B this year with Cagliari, Genoa, your Beneventos, these kind of teams. That there are 10 teams that want to promote directly this year, and it's a really, really interesting season for us. And obviously we need to take care of our every week work, every day work, just go to the next match, try to get the points from it and not get too carried away with anything else, because that's the only thing that matters. And that's the only way I view football as well. Like, your goal, whatever that might be, that will take care of itself. But your responsibility is to take care of your everyday work, your every week work. That's my method. That's how I prefer for the games, because otherwise you get too carried away with future, and that's not a good way to go, in my opinion.
No, you're spot on, and I wanted to talk a little bit about your transition into Italian football, because as we know and as we love talking about again here on the podcast, is the different techniques within goalkeeping around the world, and as we know, it's completely different. And I had the great opportunity, and I was fortunate to a few years back to actually go to train with Cittadella, which is in your league as well. I got to train with Alberto Paleri, who now plays for Benevento.
Yeah.
And it was some experience. I mean, I'm very grateful I got that opportunity. And with that being said, goalkeeping in Italy and in the south of Europe are very different to where we are from up north in Europe. So can you talk us through a little bit about, obviously it's different in the pro game because you have your strengths and some other goalkeepers have their strengths, but was it a big process adapting to the Italian league and the Italian technique?
No, to be honest, the level of competition in Denmark as well, and I got a couple of outings in the Europa League as well with Copenhagen. That was a really good background to go into the to the Serie A. In that kind of sense, obviously, in Serie A, if we talk about it, the game and the technical level of the players is unbelievable. But in the same way, it's very, very high. There are probabilities and there, because if something is open, you can be sure that Dybala will find that opening. He will deliver the ball exactly there. And if he can see it, you can see it, and that creates something. Obviously, you need to be careful that they don't change something at the last minute. But in that kind of sense, things become more fast, but also a little bit more predictable, because they are always, always able to deliver the ball to the open man, to the open, whatever part of the goal is open, they will find it. And that makes it a little bit more, easier to anticipate. Not too much, obviously. Like, nobody wants to go too early, because then you get fucked. But you know what I mean. In a sense of Serie B, difference in Serie B, Serie A it's still the technical level is incredibly high, but I think it's just the number of options that each player has in their disposal, you know, number of tools, like the, every single player has some strengths that are in a level of Serie A or in any other league, but then there are also defects, which are the reason why they play in Serie B, or they are a little bit younger or inexperienced or stuff like that. But the technical ability is very, very high. Obviously, there are a lot of emphasis on the tactical aspect as well. Like, you know, in Italy, even for goalkeepers, enormously big part to be part of the team in tactical aspect as well, because coaches will have a very strong views. There is almost none of it, you know, in the sense of just go out and win. You know, there is always a plan, there is always a preparation for the opposition, you know, and it's a really good thing. It, you know, it gives me a lot in the sense of, you know, how to develop my mind in a tactical aspect as well. And, you know, I take great interest in that sense as well, because I can see the whole game. The goalkeeper is in the perfect position to view it in the games, in the training, how team is performing, because you see it. You have time to look at something else than your own 5 meter area as well.
Yeah, interesting. And I think that brings us back to one of the first things you mentioned in this episode about your job is really to bring consistency to the team and to be the guy in the back that your defenders and furthermore the whole team can rely on at the end of the day to make the save and to keep the team in the game, or if you are in a tough situation to make several saves in order to keep your team in the game and fight for that promotion spot. But Jesse, we are coming to an end here on the podcast, and we have this usual segment where, due to our name, the Gloves On podcast, we want to ask you about your favorite gloves and why.
My favorite gloves. You know, I have to name my Cels gloves. I'm currently wearing as well. But, you know, that was also my first sponsored gloves when I was still a kid. And even it was my first year in Fulham. I was still traveling from Finland. I was going to high school in Finland, and you know, Adam Cels was kind enough to, you know, give me gloves to a 17-year-old Finnish kid, and obviously I had afterwards. I have tried other brands as well, but now I'm back with Cels and really enjoying the gloves.
Awesome. Again, Jesse, we're coming to the end. So Alex and I just wanna thank you so much for taking your time and sharing your knowledge within goalkeeping and sharing a little bit about your career so far, because I know there is much more to come out there.
Yeah, it was really nice for you guys to ask me to come on, and you know, obviously, all the best to both of you, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
And to you guys still listening out there, please go follow Gloves On Podcast on your favorite social media, leave a review, and share this with one other goalkeeper for them to keep improving. Catch you on the next episode of Gloves On Podcast.